The Search for the Ultimate Truth, a talk given by Venerable Mahinda at the Po Kak Shee Temple, Singapore.
Venerable Sirs, Samaneras, Upasikas, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma, before I commence with the talk this evening, I would like to express my sincere gratitude to the Venerable Sek Hong Chun and the organizers of this weekly Dhamma Talks, Kong Meng San, Po Kak Shee, for this opportunity to speak to you all. I shall first begin with my talk by sharing with you some of the experiences which I have had through so far in the search for the ultimate truths. In the course of my travels to more than 25 countries in the last 15 years, I have lived and associated with various religious and spiritual communities, both in the West and in the East. I have met and discussed with many truth seekers, young and old, especially in the United States of America, in all the 48 states on the mainland, excepting Hawaii and Alaska. I find that many young people in the affluent countries, having seen the luxuries and comforts of life and not being able to find lasting happiness in their material culture, they have turned to spiritualism. Many have left their homes in pursuit of a simpler way of life. Some have left their homes with certain deluded minds. But there are those who have left their homes with great sincerity to look for a quieter, a more peaceful way of life. The sincerity of these truth seekers, some of these truth seekers, have strongly impressed my mind. And this has in some way contributed towards the zeal and enthusiasm which I have to promote the study and practice of the teachings of the Buddha. The more I dwell into the teachings of the Buddha, the clearer I see the realities of life. In speaking about the realities of life or truth, we need to recognize two kinds of truths. There is the mundane truth and the supramundane truth. Mundane truth refers to all kinds of worldly knowledge which offers us only temporary relief from sufferings. When we are sick, we go to see the doctors, we visit the doctors. They first diagnose our disease. Then, with their medical knowledge and experience, they prescribe some medicine to relieve our pain and dis-ease. This kind of knowledge which the doctors possess only offer temporary relief from suffering. We have to see them again and again. Now, instead of going to doctors, some of our people have chosen to turn to the deities, to the temple mediums, for holistic medicine. Others prefer the magic touch of the faith healers. The knowledge of these people, including the deities, are in reality no better than the knowledge of that medical person. They can only provide us with temporary relief or temporary cures. In my younger days, I have lots of experience with temple deities, so much so that I almost became one myself. The more dependent we are on them, the further away we get from the realities of life. When we become dependent on deities, when we are sick, we go to them, we get the medicine. We never think, we never want to find out what is the cause of our problems. This is what the over-dependence of this is not encouraged. However, the teachings of the Buddha recognize the existence of such celestial beings and to respect where respect is due. It is really the search for the supramundane truths, the other kind of truths, that really provides us with the cure of all sufferings, all forms of sufferings, once and for all. This is known as Saddhamma. This is known as the sublime truth or the ultimate truth. It is called the sublime and ultimate truth because it enables us to overcome, to put an end to all forms of suffering once and for all. It is different from all the other kinds of knowledge, which only provides temporary relief of suffering. The search for the sublime truth, the ultimate truth, begins with two elementary questions. What do I want in life? What or who am I? These are the two very elementary questions. What do I want in life? And who am I? What am I? It is with an earnest question, this question when asked earnestly by the individual, that individual begins the search for the sublime truth. The answers are very profound. To look for these answers, there is the need to look within, to look within oneself. According to the Buddha, the whole world lies within this fathom-long body, or rather, this 5-foot-long body. And if I am not mistaken, the Christian Bible also says that the kingdom of heaven lies within. If so, why do we look out into the sky in search for the Almighty? Why should we surrender ourselves to the unknown, the unseen? Let us look within, see what we can find within ourselves. Now, to look within, we have to return to the Buddha. What did the Buddha have to say about the world? He says, the beginning, the middle, and the end of the world lies within this fathom-long body. To understand this statement, we have to understand the six faculties. What are the six faculties? The eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the body, and the mind. These are the six bases. It is through these six bases, it is through these six faculties that we come into contact with the outer world, the sense object, the mental object. Through our eyes, we see forms, we see colors. Through our ears, we hear sound. Through our nose, we smell. Through the tongue, there is taste. Through the body, there is touch. Through the mind, there are thoughts, concepts, ideas, imaginations, and what more. Now, when the eye comes into contact with a visible object, there arises only the eye consciousness. Similarly, when the ear comes into contact with sound, there arises the ear consciousness. One becomes conscious of hearing. When the nose comes into contact with smell, there arises nose consciousness. Similarly, when the body comes into contact with touch, the tongue comes into contact with flavors, with taste, there only arises the respective consciousness. Apart from these six sense faculties or bases, six bases, apart from the outer sense objects, and the corresponding consciousness, what else is there? There is nothing more than these 18 things or 18 dhammas. This is what we are. This is how we respond to things outside. We perceive things outside. This is how we generate problems for ourselves. When we see a pleasant object, what is it that arises? Certain feelings arise, pleasant feelings arise. When pleasant feelings arise, there arises craving, there arises attachment. Attachment, craving is the cause of sufferings, is the cause of unsatisfactoriness. Remove this greed, remove this craving. Where is fear? Where is suffering? Where is the sorrow? When we look within us, we find there are only these objects. What more is there? Yes, some people say there is what you call ESP, extrasensory perception. This is also included within the sensory perception according to the teachings of the Buddha. Because when we speak of the eye, we not only speak of the physical eye, there is also the divine eye. It is that divine eye which some people refers to, the third eye. The eye, the mental eye, that when developed can see things which the physical eyes cannot see. There is also, besides the physical ear, there is the divine ear, Dibbasota. It is through these divine ears that beings who have trained themselves are able to hear what the normal ear cannot hear. Then there is also the mind which is not concentrated and the mind that is concentrated. The mind that is concentrated has the ability to develop various mental powers. All these powers, psychic powers, they are also included. They are also within the realms of sensory perceptions, according to the teachings of the Buddha. There is nothing called extra sensory. Perhaps it would be better to call it effective sensory perceptions, more appropriate for ESP. When we observe closely our minds and sense faculties, how they function, we observe the fleeting nature of all mental and physical phenomena. It is when we see this fleeting nature, we get the glimpse to the answer of that relevant question, who am I? What am I? When you sit down quietly, you just pause and reflect on this question, what am I? Or who am I? Without thinking, without having preconceived ideas of who this I, this my is. Just observe. Observe your feelings. Observe, experience it yourself. Do you experience I? Do you experience my? If so, how do you experience this? This is a relevant question when we are talking about the search for the ultimate truth. It is when we get a glimpse of the fleeting nature of life, the fleeting nature of all worldly phenomena. You experience feelings. Feelings as a feeling process, pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. These feeling process come and go. You experience perception. You are able to recognize certain things. Even this cognition process comes and go. You get some thoughts, some ideas that arises in your mind. These ideas, these thoughts, these concepts that you hold, they come, they go. Fleeting, they are fleeting. This is what you call the fleeting nature of things. Now, in order to really observe our mind and our sense faculties, there is a need to cleanse the lens of the mind. Just as if we are to see with our physical eyes, we need to clean our glasses if we are wearing glasses. To look within us. How do we look within? Not with our physical eye, but with our mental eye. We need to clean the lens of our mental eye. And this process of cleaning The lenses of our mental eye is called mental purification. To purify the mind, we need to get rid of a fair bit of rubbish and junks which have been accumulated in our minds from birth to birth. In order to get rid of this rubbish and junk, there are two things important. The practice of mindfulness, the practice of awareness, the practice of bare attention, and the practice of insight meditation. Through mindfulness, we would be able to guard, to protect the influxes, to protect all the rubbish from further defiling the mind. It is only through the practice of insight meditation that we are able to cut off the roots of all defiling tendencies. They are greed, hatred, delusion. Upon the removal of greed, hatred, delusion, when these roots are removed, our minds become clean. Our mind becomes pure. When it is at this stage that we experience the brightness within, the luminous nature of the pure mind, the Buddha says, Pabhasarang Chittang Bhikkhave. The Buddha says, O monks, the mind is of the luminous nature. It is bright. It has lost its brightness. It has lost its luminosity through adventitious defilements, through defilements from outside this. Now, all religious teachers have mentioned, have referred to the light within. Christianity speaks of the light within. The Hindus speaks of the light within. The Quran also speaks about the light within. But none have pointed out the method how to clear, how to attain to this light within so clearly as the Sammasambuddha, as the fully enlightened one, the all-awakened one. The Buddha's method lies in the teachings of the Noble Eightfold Path. It is in these teachings that one finds the truth, the sublime truth, that enables us to put an end to suffering once and for all. What are these Noble Eightfold Paths? Right understanding, right thoughts, right speech, right bodily action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. We classify these teachings into three groups: sila, samadhi, panya, or morality, concentration, wisdom. Now, what is the relation between morality, concentration? What is the relationship between concentration and wisdom? How does moral values pave the way for concentration and wisdom? This is clearly mentioned in the teachings of the Buddha, wherein the psychological processes of the mind when one practices moral restraint, when one upholds certain precepts or moral principles, moral discipline, avoiding unwholesome actions, performing good actions, what arises in the mind? When one avoids evil, one avoids unwholesome action, and one performs good, the mind becomes free from remorse. The mind is free from guilty conscience. We can understand this when we see how people, after having performed certain immoral actions, killing, stealing, lying, are these people able to sit quietly, to sit calmly? No. There is the disturbance of the mind, the unrest of the mind. There is no need for another person. There is no need for deities. There is no need for gods to punish you. Your action bears the results. That is what we say, the law of cause and effect. How does concentration help in the development of wisdom? We see how when we practice moral values, the mind becomes free from remorse. That mind that is free from remorse is a calm, is naturally calm, peaceful. That calm, that peaceful, that happy mind within is conducive to concentration. That concentration is conducive to analysis. It is through the power of concentration that one is able to analyze things, that one is able to understand the nature of things according to the law of cause and effect. This is the law of karma, the law of cause and effect. It is through the understanding of this law of cause and effect that one paves the way for the development, for the cultivation of wisdom, the realization of the Four Noble Truths. When one gets a glimpse of the Four Noble Truths, one begins to see the ultimate realities of life. When one sees these Four Noble Truths, one sees the unsatisfactoriness of life. What is this unsatisfactoriness of life? Birth is unsatisfactory. The process of decay or aging is an unsatisfactory process. It generates suffering. Sicknesses, deaths, these are universal miseries, whether one believes it or not. Whether we accept the teachings or not, these are universal truths. These are real facts of life. Beyond this universal miseries of life, when we associate with people whom we love, when we cherish things which we like, when we are separated from our beloved ones or things which we so much cherish, what is it that arises? Unsatisfactoriness, suffering, grief arises in the mind. our ambitions, our aspirations. Again, there arises disappointment. There arises sufferings. In short, the Buddha mentions and says, the five grasping aggregates. What are these five grasping aggregates? The physical process, the feeling process, perception process, mental formation process, and consciousness process. These five processes in a state of flux, and this is what we are. Nothing more, nothing less. All these processes we experience, we are able to experience these processes. There is nothing within this.